All right. Well, let's go right to our special guest here. It's a great topic to be talking about today. Mike Robbins is a former pitcher with the Kansas City Royals, and now he's the author of a new book called Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. And it's a great topic for today because appreciation is a powerful bridge between differences among anybody, and it builds up a deep reservoir of good feeling and intimacy between partners.
That's one of the really big benefits of appreciation. It's kind of magical in that way. You can leapfrog over being stuck or feeling at an impasse by generating appreciation. And so Mike is here with us today to really talk about a primer, you know, really a roadmap that he's created about how to appreciate.
Mike, come on in and join the conversation. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, our pleasure. It was very kind of you to send us down your book, and enjoyed reading it a lot.
Thank you.
Congratulations on creating an appreciation book, first of all, because we're big fans of appreciation, and I think more appreciation books in the world is a good thing.
It's really a good thing. And one of the things that I especially appreciated about your book is that it's very accessible. People can really recognize themselves and recognize their lives and also find things that they can do. And this part of what we wanted to talk to you about is the actual specifics of what people can do.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what led you to focus on appreciation specifically. With all the different relationship tools there are, why appreciation?
Well, I think like the caller who just called in, who I really appreciate her honesty, like most people, I struggled for a long, long time appreciating myself. And I found that in a lot of my, especially my love relationships, I was looking for them to fill some hole within me that I wasn't filling for myself.
Central problem that we find also, like trying to get someone else to love something about you that you don't love. And then, of course, that never works because you don't believe them.
Exactly. So it's this sort of never-ending cycle. And, you know, based on a myriad of different experiences in my own life, both in relationships and in the things that I did, you know, yeah, you mentioned I used to play baseball. I played at Stanford, and then I played in the minor leagues with the Kansas City Royals. And all I ever wanted to do as a kid was play in the major leagues. And unfortunately, my third season in the minor leagues with Kansas City, I hurt my arm, and I was a pitcher, and my career ended. So there I was at 23 years old. A lot of my life had been wrapped up in my success on the baseball field, and all of a sudden, I wasn't doing that anymore. And I realized how much of who I thought I was and my own self-esteem was tied up in did I win the game or not win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And at 23 years old, I had this sense, even as young as I was, that I've got to figure out a better way to do this in life because this is going to make me crazy. And as I started to look deeper, I realized that it was a fundamental desire for appreciation, which is what I was really after, whether it was success in baseball or anything else or even in a relationship. So my personal growth journey has been, how do I more deeply love myself? And fundamentally, how do I teach other people to do that for themselves?
And you're married, aren't you, Mike?
Yes, I have a beautiful wife, Michelle, and we have an 18-month-old daughter named Samantha.
All right.
Oh, fantastic.
Wonderful.
And tell us how you use appreciation in your relationship.
Well, I mean, it's a constant theme for me and Michelle, and especially right now with our lives changing as much as they are. And, you know, we have a new child, and it's wonderful, and, you know, it can be challenging. And it's constantly, Michelle and I have a constant practice every day where we stop and make sure to let each other know what we appreciate about one another, because if we don't, as you guys talk about in so many of your wonderful books and all the work that you do, those resentments build up. And if we're not telling the microscopic truth about what's going on, it's easy for one or both of us to feel unappreciated.
Yes, and that unappreciation tends to drive a wedge between you, whereas I've found, and it sounds like you have too, that appreciation opens a flow of love and harmony quicker than almost anything else. And it's a way to remember who you first fell in love with in the first place.
Absolutely. And, you know, Michelle's been such a great teacher for me, because when we first got together about 7 years ago, you know, she used to have this practice that she would do, and she'll still do it sometimes, although not as often, she doesn't need to, that she would raise her hand and say, I would like to be acknowledged, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, and then, of course, I had to stop what I was doing and say, okay, what would you like to be acknowledged for? And it was funny because we would laugh about it, but she decided instead of being resentful towards me, which she had done in the past in relationships, she was just going to ask for the appreciation that she wanted. And what it did was it started to teach me, as I know you guys teach this very beautifully about appreciation being very specific and being very personal and tailored to the individual. So I began to learn what was important for Michelle and how to appreciate her.
Well, kudos to both of you for Michelle for actually speaking up for what she wanted, and you for listening, and then that whole co-creativity, creating something new together. I find one of the most exciting things in relationship is to discover something new and then to blend your energies with another person. And appreciation is such a trampoline, is such a leapfrog into that space.
Yeah, and you're right. And then it's also, we got to know what resonates with the people we're in relationship with. I mean, I know that whenever I feel a sense of disconnection from Michelle, there's always a lack of appreciation there. And I will stop and say sometimes in a sort of joking way and sometimes in a more serious way, I'll say to her, baby, is there something that I haven't noticed or appreciated that you've been doing? And, you know, and if she's a little frustrated with me in the moment, she'll sometimes say, yes, you know, and then she'll have something. But oftentimes just the question, and when I can look her in the eye and stop what I'm doing, just the question will calm her down, will slow her down, will get her in her own heart, and then we'll have a conversation at a much deeper level. And in the midst of our busy lives and my work and traveling and speaking and writing and all the things that I do, and Michelle being a full-time incredible mom, there's a lot of opportunity for us to forget and not appreciate each other if we're not really conscious about it.
Well, one thing I wanted to underline in what you're saying, Mike, is that you're turning your attention toward her and asking, or if she does that with you, is in itself an act of appreciation.
Yeah.
You've already made the basic shift. You're giving your awareness and attention to another person. Being sensitively aware is the fundamental definition of appreciation.
Yeah.
And that's really what creates the magic, no matter what you say.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's great. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's really more about the energy and the attention than it is about the words. Because a lot of people I talk to, when they ask me, what do I say? Well, how do I do it? And what you just said is so beautiful in response to that. It's like, don't worry about what you say. Just focus on the intention of it.
Yeah, getting the flow of intention toward the other person is a huge first step. I have another thought. We teach appreciation a lot in our seminars, and we have a whole section on it. And one thing that's always been amazing to me is how much easier it is for most people to listen to negativity or criticism about themselves, how much easier it is than to listen to someone appreciating them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch their body language during the seminar, you know, they go through amazing gyrations just learning how to receive an appreciation. And why do you think that is? Why are people so fascinated and open to negativity in a way, but have such a difficult time giving and receiving appreciation?
You know, that's a fascinating question, Gay. I think part of it is that we spend a lot of our lives in relationship with others worrying about what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming, in some ways, a lot of us assume, or, you know, that they think negative things. So when the negative stuff comes out, we immediately listen to that, by the way, like it's the truth.
Yeah, because we've also rehearsed it in our minds several thousand times by then.
You know, isn't it funny? I mean, you could get 20 compliments in one day and one piece of criticism, and most of us will obsess about the criticism.
Yeah, so true. Yeah.
So we all of a sudden think that it holds more weight than often the appreciation. But even when people are being genuinely appreciated, and you know because you do this in your workshops, it's an amazing experience to watch people, because a lot of times our society, or we're sort of culturally taught this weird notion about what we're supposed to do in response to compliments.
Right.
And, you know, I say this sort of jokingly, but often very seriously to people. When someone compliments you, just say thank you and then shut your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, right? That's so right. I mean, because I've seen people go through incredible gyrations defending against a compliment, you know.
And the thing that it does when we actually, you know, are able to accept it, it's this really beautiful gift for both us and the other person. The metaphor that I use is like a birthday present, that I hand you this birthday gift called a compliment or an acknowledgement from my heart. Here it is for you. And what you do when you receive a gift from somebody is you receive the gift, you take it, and you say thank you. And then you open it. And, you know, you may like the gift, you may not like the gift, you may agree with the gift or not, but there's some way in which we know to accept. I mean, you wouldn't take a present from someone and throw it on the floor and say, I don't deserve that. What's wrong with you? But that's what
that color.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what we do with compliments. And then what happens is, because people love to give compliments and it's a little bit of a vulnerable thing to do, when we don't receive them, it actually not only negatively impacts us, but it negatively impacts the other person.
Not as likely to get more of them if you deflect them. What we recommend to people is to say thank you and then to take a breath.
Yes.
So that they can actually let the compliment or the appreciation in at that deeper level where it really can make a difference. And we've noticed over and over again that appreciation benefits everybody, everybody who's in the room. And so when we focus on appreciation in our seminars, people get really blissful. They get really expanded. And it's a great way to increase appreciation.
We're coming up on a break, Mike. I wonder, do you have time to stick around for the next segment? Because we have a couple more questions we haven't gotten to yet.
I would love to.
Okay, good. Well, we'll kind of wrap this up and then be back in a couple of minutes to talk to you some more. We're talking with Mike Robbins, who has a new book out called Focus on the Good Stuff. And it's about a subject that I think human beings in general need to know a lot about, but particularly in close relationships, the subject of appreciation. You cannot get too much training in that subject.
Yeah, and there are lots of benefits to appreciation that we're going to be talking about with our guest after the break. So please stay with us.
Welcome to Spirit-Centered Relationships with Drs. Gay and Kathleen Hendricks.
Thanks so much for being with us today. If you've just joined us, we're in the middle of a conversation with Mike Robbins, who's written a new book called Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. And before we get back to him, I wanted to just share with you a few of the benefits of appreciating that we've noticed in our own relationship and in working with people in seminars and in our office. One thing that can happen is that you renew and refresh your perception. And what I mean by that is you get to see each other brand new. Appreciation really polishes your eyes and your perception so that you can see the essence of your partner and really open up more to seeing that. On a very practical level, that's a value to many of us. Lots of folks have reported that their sex lives are better. One woman said that she now feels that her husband listens to her and she says more of what she wants sexually out loud, and so sex is more satisfying for both of them. Someone else has applied appreciation to other family members and has transformed his relationship with his brothers by stopping his criticism and his urge to control them and instead focuses on giving them lots of appreciation, and it's totally changed his relationship with his family. And the other thing that a lot of folks have noticed is that appreciation can change enemies into allies. So instead of saying that somebody else is the problem or trying to get them to change their behavior, I've given the assignment to people to give 5 appreciations a day to each other and to stop blaming. And one couple reported a total shift in their relationship immediately, and they continue to feel closer to each other as they increase their appreciation. And it's really what Mike is talking about, which is really focusing on the good stuff rather than focusing on what's wrong.
And let's check back in with Mike Robbins, who's our guest today, and talk a little bit more about some of the principles of appreciation that come out in his book. If you missed our earlier segment, Mike is a former baseball star that up at Stanford and with Kansas City Royals that injured himself his third season in baseball, and then had to kind of reinvent his life and has ended up as a life coach and relationship coach, and now with this new book called Focus on the Good Stuff. Mike, tell us a little bit more about appreciation and how you work with it. Like, what are one or two of the main principles that people really need to know about relationship?
Well, there's kind of two sides to it, really. There's acknowledging your partner or acknowledging others, and then there's appreciating yourself. So as far as acknowledging other people, the most important thing to remember, we were talking, you know, a little bit before the break about how sometimes people have a hard time receiving compliments. One way to get through the gatekeeper, as I call it, that'll actually let the appreciation, the acknowledgement get in there, is to be very specific about it and to let people know how they've impacted you as opposed to a positive judgment. Let me give you an example. With the two of you, actually, because I'm really grateful and honored to be on this show and to be talking to the two of you, because I've respected and admired your work for many, many years and have gotten huge benefits from it. And, you know, I could tell you, which would be very sincere and true, that I think you're beautiful and wonderful and amazing people, and you're I do. But here,
yeah, I'm liking this. Say more. Yeah,
well, I really do. And the deeper way of appreciating you and really having it land is to let you know that I read your book, Conscious Loving, probably about 8 or 9 years ago when I was going through a really, really painful breakup. And someone handed it to me, and it was literally like, it felt like a gift from God because it spoke right to my heart and soul and helped me through that very painful time. And as I was reading that book, I remember thinking to myself, there's something else possible that I didn't know about as it relates to relationships. And I'm crystal clear that that book and your work had a big impact on my life and allowed me to create the relationship that I have with my wife, Michelle, that I absolutely adore.
Well,
I just want to thank you for that impact on my life.
Thank
yes,
you very
lovely.
Much. I
and
appreciate
I,
that
Yeah,
a lot.
I hear
yeah.
The specificity there that if you say not only here's what I noticed, but here's how it impacted me, then it really is something that the two of you or the three of you are sharing.
Yep.
Together, and it doesn't leave the interpretation up to the other person. You're actually speaking a form of the microscopic truth.
Yeah, and here's the interesting part is that people can't argue with that. See, if I say that you're beautiful, you could say, well, I don't, not so much, or you're smart.
Yeah, have you seen me today? Or,
yeah.
You know,
because the thing about it is you could just as easily say you're ugly, or if instead of saying smart, you could say stupid. They're judgments. Now, they're positive judgments, and I always say to people, better to give a positive judgment than nothing at all. But if you want to take it deeper, you let someone know what they've done and how that's impacted you or what quality they have and how that's impacted you. What you're doing is giving someone a beautiful gift because most of us, no matter how confident we are, we fundamentally ask the question, what value am I bringing?
Mm-hmm.
And when you can bring into your relationship, be the kind of person that lets your partner know, here's how you make my life better. Here's how you impact my heart and soul. That is such a beautiful gift.
I totally agree. We often coach people actually in how to do that in a way that really gets it through. You know, here's something I've always been curious about. Now that I have a former professional athlete on the line here, I can actually
yes.
ask. I've always noticed that, like, when they do athlete press conferences, they'll ask one of the athletes, they'll say, you know, you scored 6 touchdowns today. How do you feel about that? And the athlete will always say something like, well, you know, it was a team effort. You know, it may look like sort of like I was the hero today, but it's really these guys on the line that did the job for me.
Yes.
Now, does somebody actually coach professional athletes on how to do that little rap, or is that something that just comes naturally to them?
You know what? It's a great question, Gay. It's a combination of the two. If you notice, you could sort of close your eyes and listen to a lot of those interviews and those sound bites. And they would sound very similar.
Exactly the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Or they give credit to God. They sometimes
yeah.
credit God.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, again, I think that's all. I think both of those messages, giving credit to God and acknowledging the team, are wonderful. The part that's sort of funny is, you know, and I say this kind of laughing about it, is it doesn't always feel that it's that authentic.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because if it was offensive, I mean, if it was authentic, they'd also have press conferences where the losing team blamed God.
Exactly. I've heard people talk about that. How come no one ever says it's God's fault and we lost, right? You know.
Also, well, it sounds like, too, Mike, what's missing there is a genuine appreciation of self, which is
yeah.
something you were talking about before the break, where the person says, yeah, you know, I was really pleased that I was able to meet my goals for this, or
right.
I really learned something that I knew that I applied here, and it really worked, and I'm really happy about that, and, you know, the team supported me, but there's this whole, you know, it's really not me, and I think that reinforces the whole cultural
Yep.
You know, don't talk about yourself. Don't brag about yourself. That's
right.
being big-headed and selfish. And what I hear you saying is that acknowledging others is it's as important to acknowledge yourself and to get comfortable with that as it is to be able to customize your appreciation for others.
Absolutely, because the other piece of this, and they go hand in hand, is our ability, Catherine, as you're talking about, to appreciate ourselves genuinely. Now, there's a big distinction between self-appreciation and arrogance. Now, the caller who called in earlier that some of you were listening and heard, who said that when you asked her to appreciate herself and she said, oh my God, I feel funny, I can't do that, you know.
Right.
People say that all the time.
Yeah.
The thing is, because a lot of us don't understand or even can't feel the distinction, because the minute we start to speak about ourselves or even think about ourselves in a positive way, we immediately hear someone, whether it's our mother's voice or some teacher saying, don't get so full of yourself, you know, or something like that. And the distinction, the way I talk about it, is that arrogance comes from fear. So when we're coming from a place of fear, which we do from time to time, we'll often act in an arrogant way, try to compensate or prove something. When we're coming from a place of real self-love and confidence, that's more what self-appreciation is. And in my workshops and in some of my speeches, what I'll often do, a very simple exercise, and I write about this and focus on the good stuff, is just have people pair up. Sometimes they know the person, sometimes it's a stranger, but just take 1 minute and talk only about themselves in a positive way. And as simple as that exercise may seem, people go crazy out of their skin at first, often trying to do it.
But a whole minute. Oh, my God.
I know, a whole minute. You know, and I'll make, and everyone, oh, what am I going to think? But then they, when they do it, even the ones that are really uncomfortable, it's so amazing the feedback and the conversation we have after the exercise. Because people find that even if it felt a little funny to them, that tapping into that place of self-appreciation, it really is like a different reservoir than any kind of place that maybe someone asks you in an interview, what are your strengths? It's a whole different conversation. And when we can really appreciate ourselves at that deep level, the irony is that we're less needy of the appreciation of others.
Indeed.
But we become way, I don't know what the word is, but it becomes a lot easier to acknowledge us because we have a lot more space to let it in.
One time comes to into my memory right now of a time, we teach a lot of professional trainings to professional groups, you know, medical doctors or therapists and that kind of thing. And I had a room full of psychiatrists and their wives, and they were all heterosexual couples, all psychiatrists, all of them married. And so I was doing a relationship workshop with them, and I had them do a process where I got out my stopwatch and I wanted them to complain about their marital partner for 2 minutes. And so that was the assignment. And so for 2 minutes, the room was deafening with sound. I mean, it sounded like a 747 taking off. And then I thanked them, and then I said, okay, now for 2 minutes, I'd like you to think of all the things you appreciate about your partner. Dead silence.
Wow.
There was absolute silence. Most people looked around and said, what do you mean? Can you explain that again? I mean, you didn't have any trouble at all understanding the first one about complain about your partner.
Yep.
But there's some unused tracks in ourselves or sort of undeveloped muscles in ourselves for appreciation.
Yep. I really think, I mean, my experience growing up, this was very familiar to me. You know, my mother grew up with basically no appreciation from my grandmother because she didn't want her to get a big head.
Right.
And so it was very pervasive in my growing up. And my sense is that people are, it's like the boogeyman. People are scared that something awful is going to happen if they actually open up to appreciation, or they, you know, they let somebody know that they're really worthwhile and have value. So I think that what you're up to, and certainly what we're interested in, is really quite revolutionary, is declaring, you know, I have value,
mm-hmm.
I have value specifically, and I'm open to increasing my value, which is another definition of appreciation. You know, like your house appreciates in value. People really increase their value in this practice of appreciation.
Absolutely. And I love that you bring up the example of your mother. And I do think that there is a generational piece of this, that this is revolutionary. As simple as it may seem, there seems to be a building of awareness and consciousness around the importance of this in love relationships, in business, and just in general, because we all understand and take for granted now this notion of young people need to have self-esteem, right? But there's some weird notion that, like, sometime around 18 or 20 or 22, you're supposed to have gotten all your self-esteem
right.
And then go be an adult and just figure it out, right?
Right. No more appreciation for you. You should be filled up, topped up for the rest of your life. And people don't realize that we really thrive. People thrive on and actually require loving attention and appreciation in order to be healthy.
Absolutely. And we understand this fundamentally at the core because we do this with children. I mean, I have an 18-month-old, and it's amazing to me. We go places with her, and people just walk up to her and tell her how beautiful she is and how wonderful she is. And I laugh about it because I say, you know, in the world, she hasn't done anything to deserve that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you couldn't just walk up to a stranger on the street and tell them how great they are unless they absolutely did something that was so extraordinary. You go, oh, boy, I have to go tell that man how great he is. But we know it. We know how important it is to just give that kind of unconditional love and acknowledgement and appreciation to a child, to a toddler. But somehow or another, it becomes very conditional as we get older, and particularly in our relationships. You know, I talk to people all the time, and they say about their partners, well, I don't want to acknowledge him because then he's going to think everything's okay.
Yeah.
And
we're, we're coming up against the end of our program here, and we wanted to just kind of pin you down a little bit and say, if people were going to do one thing differently today or going forward, what's the most powerful practice you'd recommend?
The most powerful practice is to create a very specific, very personal self-appreciation practice for themselves.
Okay.
And the more that we can, you know, do that every day, like a meditation practice, like brushing your teeth, that will ultimately open the valve, so to speak, will open you up to be able to both give and receive appreciation to your partner, to the people in your life, and will absolutely transform your life.
Well, I want to appreciate you for bringing up this subject and for going to the long and immense journey of writing a book on it. I know how that goes.
Focus, I know you know, yeah.
Focus on the good stuff, the power of appreciation, our special guest, Mike Robbins. And we got so carried away here, we ended up keeping you up for a whole other segment. And I want to apologize to those of others that have been on the line waiting to ask a question or something. Call us again next program, and we'll do our best to get to it. Thanks a lot for being with us today, Mike, and thanks to all of our guests around the world for being with us today on the program.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today, where we get to talk about our favorite subject, how to give and receive more love every day. We'll be with you next time.